Do you want me to start? You want to go ahead?
Yeah, I want you to start because you've never made me start, so I don't know how to start this thing.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the Love and Music Podcast. How is everybody doing today, Jerry?
I hope everybody's doing great today because I am also doing great today.
Fantastic. A little creepy, but I love you anyway. Fine, so whatever. Love Music Podcast. I am Erica.
I am Jerry, all day long.
Nice to meet you, Jerry. You're fantastic. We are here. We're super in love. Everything's great, all of it, except major problem, I think.
Big problem.
Can this marriage be saved? We don't like the same kind of music.
It's not even a marriage yet.
Well, but that's a reference to like Red Book from the 70s, but whatever.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take
your
word
for it.
Do you know what Red Book is? I've heard of it.
It's a ladies magazine. Anyway.
That's why I've only heard of it.
So we started a podcast because we figured this would be the best way to talk about our differences in music and understand each other without bitter, bitter arguments.
I'm really more of a cosmopolitan kind of guy, but old cosmopolitan, back when Helen Gurley Brown was the editor, not the new.
Right. And you got it for the articles.
Right.
Not because you were a 10-year-old boy and everybody on the cover had their tits out.
I was 14.
Okay, you're right. That's way better. So thank you for joining us here on the podcast, helping us figure out why we even like each other if we listen to different kinds of music. But
that's
I'm sure it's fantastic. So what we do every week is we pick a theme. And this week our theme is kind of a big one.
Songs that make you want to cry.
Songs that make you cry.
Songs that make you cry.
Which is kind of a big deal. There's a lot of different ways you can go. Like, obviously, breakup songs. But like we were talking about, like, songs that make you cry because they make you feel so powerful and awesome. And like, I can do it.
Songs that make
fire.
You feel so happy that you cry. That you happy cry.
Exactly.
Happy cry is a thing.
100% it's a thing.
Yeah.
So a song that makes you cry. What, Jerry, or would you call yourself an easy crier?
Probably, yes. I'll be honest. I cried at the end of the Dark Knight trilogy, you know, when Alfred is like in the French cafe
Spoiler.
With Anne Hathaway and
Anne Hathaway. I would have cried because her. Anyway, Annie. Aren't we supposed to call her Annie Hathaway?
Annie Hathaway,
now?
Yes.
So Jerry.
My wife. My future wife.
Is wonderful and I love him so much. He weeps. And like, I don't want to oversell it, but I mean, it gets a little weepy sometimes, like sentimental crying. Would you say that I'm an easy crier?
Yeah, I would say maybe not at the same things that I do, but yes, I would say yes, you are.
Okay, fair. Because I mean, I cry at every wedding, like on TV, strangers getting married. I'm like, oh, it's so fucking great or whatever. So
yeah, so we definitely don't cry at the same things.
Right. In theory, this should be a deep topic for us.
Yes.
All right, so let's roll for initiative. Let's see who goes first.
Here we go.
What'd you
get? That is a 27.
Natural 27. We're using a D30.
D30 today, yes.
All right, let me do my... Can you read it? Oh, fuck. All right, what is it? Sorry, we're having technical difficulties.
Severe difficulty. It's hard to read the dice when you throw it on the
floor.
Sorry,
I'm not close to the table. You're supposed to love me. All right, Jerry rolled for me.
You got a 14.
Whatever. Fix is in. All right, Jerry goes first with the songs that make me want to cry. What are we drinking this week, Jer?
We're drinking shots of... Is this pee?
It is not pee. It's whiskey. All right. So normally we have a cute little
pee.
Drink or whatever. We post a recipe on our Facebook page, but I think you guys probably know how to do a shot of whiskey. But I can't even imagine a better... songs about crying. We're gonna fucking do shots of whiskey.
Do a shot of whiskey.
All right, here we go. Ready? Love you, dear. God, that's horrific. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
We're gonna switch back to our other drinks.
That's a terrible, terrible idea.
Jerry's song.
All right, this is Jerry's song. We're here. It is Fred Jones Part 2 by Ben Folds from the album Rock in the Suburbs, released on
2001.
9/11/2001.
Was it really?
Well, yeah, that's what I read in the wiki.
Well, that's a bummer.
All right, tell me about the song, Jerry. Why does it make you cry?
Well, let me put it this way. If the realization that you're getting old, that there are no parties, there are no cakes, there are no songs, your life work doesn't matter, and you're trying to make art that imitates life, and it fails, and everything around you has failed, that doesn't make you cry. You have a heart of stone. So that's pretty much... This isn't a song about a breakup. This is a song about the existential pointlessness of being alive. And if that doesn't make you cry, Honestly, I don't know what will. If I just put this song on my headphones or in the car or something, I can tear up just listening to it.
It's really depressing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, again, like breakup songs are like, oh, love you, but you hate me. Blah.
Yeah.
But this is like, it attacks the, like you said, the futility of all your accomplishments and all of your everything.
Yeah.
It's really depressing.
It absolutely is. First of all, it's brilliantly written. The lyrics tell an amazing story. The lyrics tell a story in a way that allows you to like fit the pieces. You know, Fred works at the paper for 25 years. It's like you can fill in details of what that looks like.
This is a song, because I've never heard this song before, obviously, and you're like, oh, and he's packing his stuff. Maybe he's moving out of his lover's house. He's basically either retired or gotten fired.
Yeah,
I think that's. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
I've seen a lot of people interpret it as getting fired. I think he's retiring.
Retiring. I got
because
the retiring
they're talking about. You know, there were no songs, there were no parties. That's a retirement to me. So he's basically, you know, this guy's like, whatever, 60 maybe or whatever.
Right.
And they're like, there's no songs, there's no party. Again, he's worked here 25 years. And the security guard is escorting him out of the building to make sure he doesn't steal shit
or
whatever.
Corporations suck.
And in the corner is the new guy. There are no songs when you're fired. That's why I think it's a retirement thing.
Right.
There's the new guy in the corner waiting in the shadows to move in and take your desk so he can start his career. And that's the futility
and
of...
And it very much feels like the end of something. Not like I got fired, fuck you, I got fired, but like the end of it. Like, here's all of the things I did for so many years.
Yeah.
And you know, some of the lyrics they reference obviously was some kind of like artistic graphic design. Like, there's some, he wasn't just punching a clock, he was actually putting something of himself into the job.
Yeah, that's very possible.
And then he still has to pack his shit up and get the fuck out because that's how it works.
And in the last verse, you know, I see him as retired. He's trying to fill his afternoons or his days or whatever.
Right.
So he goes into the basement and he projects this picture that's a memory. And he's
like,
I'm going to make
slide
some,
thing.
He's like, I'm going to make some art that reflects the life that I live. I'm going to try to leave something as a legacy to this memory. And he turns off the slide and it just doesn't look right. And so he can't even make art that imitated his life. So his footprint is gone. It's going to be gone. That's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I know, it's okay. No, this is going to happen. Probably. That's why we're doing shots of whiskey. As I've gotten older and you know, the experiences pile up, a breakup, devastating or whatever. But
of course.
Like, there's always another fucking boy out there. Like, there's always another something. But
what? I'm not dating boys.
Girls.
For you.
For
I got
me,
you.
It's boys.
Okay,
for
got
you,
it.
Girls.
Yeah, right.
But there's just as you get older, the idea of death. Like, this song to me feels like it's about dying.
Yeah,
Not necessarily like physical death, although that's part of it, but death of the soul.
Yeah.
It's almost as if your impact on the world, you know, goes down to a pinpoint because you can't affect other people at your work or in your relationships or whatever. Like, that is the end of life. That is death of soul when you are no longer able to make an impact on the world around you.
They say you die twice. Once when you die, and like again when everybody forgets who you were, which I think I learned from the movie Coco.
Ew, you saw the movie Coco? That's kind of... Yeah. That's, but I read something on Reddit the other day where they're like, the saddest time, at some point somebody is going to think of you for the last time and then you are truly dead.
Yeah. And there's a song, there's a punk song by the Vandals that goes, once a caveman did some really amazing shit, but nobody here gives a fuck. And that's what it comes down to, you know?
Pretty punk rock.
Kind of is a flippant way of summarizing that, basically the whole feeling in the song.
It's the futility of being alive. Sorry, so, this is a real downer podcast, but maybe you can relate.
Gee, I hope you're not sitting on a bridge listening to the
standing
podcast,
on a bridge would be worse. So I just want to say...
Hurts ankles.
This is very reminiscent of the Beatles for me. Paul McCartney sits on his piano and composes these wonderful piano songs. And Ben Folds, I don't know much about him. I know he's a favorite of yours. Appears to be super talented in a
very
not classical music way, but in a music, you know what I mean? Like musicianship.
Yes, he's very
like,
much
punk
about
rock or I'm whatever. He's like just musical theory and stuff like that.
He's very much about craft. He's very much about writing a good song and writing great lyrics. And he's done a lot of things that are kind of experimental in a way to build that. So right. Yes, that is very true. Yeah.
So, and but it is that that Paul McCartney-esque, and that Paul McCartney took these like bedrock musical principles and then turned them into the Beatles or whatever. The strings are very Eleanor Rigby for me in this song. I don't know if it's, I don't know much about music or whatever, but I don't know if it's the same instruments in the same key or what, like, I don't know, but they're very reminiscent of Eleanor Rigby, which is also a very, it's a song. Are you familiar with Eleanor Rigby? I'm sure you've heard it, but I mean, it is a song about the futility of being alive.
Yeah.
It's a very universal musical sound that he took advantage of to write this song, and he did a fantastic job. This is a good song. Like,
it's an amazing song.
This isn't a party song.
Yeah, it's not something you put on your playlist.
Whatever,
yeah,
it hits a little too close to home.
One of my favorite things about this song is that there's almost a crescendo to the entire song. The song starts out very kind of slow and quiet. Each chorus 100%. Gets bigger and bigger, and then I think it's on the second and third chorus he adds in a backup track by
the guy from Cake.
Yeah,
I looked it up.
Which is a very,
yay! I've only become a Cake fan. Yeah. So Jerry and I were sitting on this deck, and I was like, "Oh, I gotta play this song. I fucking love this song." I knew it was like a old-ish song, but you know, it was a cool band or whatever. It was Cake. It was Short Skirt, Long Jacket, and apparently it was 12 years old.
Yeah.
That's how quickly I come to new music.
Yeah, but new music takes a little while to filter through.
It was a fucking great song, and I like the guy from Cake, so I was very excited to see that.
Yep. This is a great song, again.
Do you listen to this song, like, I need to, like, because, you know, like, you have a day, and you're like, I want to hear sad songs, and then you put on this song, like, this is fucking suicide song.
No. The way this will come up is if I'm listening to this whole album, which I will do, because Rock in the Suburbs is a phenomenal album.
Okay.
From start to finish, every song is I would call it a masterpiece.
Was this his first solo record or something?
This was his first solo record after he left Ben Folds Five.
Right.
I don't know. I read parts of his biography. I should be more familiar, but I think he did a lot of the heavy lifting for Ben Folds Five.
Well, based on a solo career, I don't know anything about it. Probably
but,
true.
But like I said, he's very much about his craft, and it's a great album. So if anyone's enamored with this song, Rock in the Suburbs was the main single that came off it, which was a great song too. And there's also, he did a cover of that, like, not a song, but like did a remake with it, where it's got this big long speaking interlude with William Shatner that's really hilarious. It was off a soundtrack.
Quirky.
It's really, it's super quirky and hilarious. And it's Shatner. It was very funny.
All right. I love it.
But yeah, so Garbage was my first choice for this.
Oh, again, we just had a recent episode where you're like, Garbage is my number one.
Right.
Is Garbage your favorite band?
I mean, maybe. I
don't know. Favorite band is Garbage.
But
I couldn't have said it better.
But what's so funny is like this song, I'm like, okay, let's think of some songs that make me cry. And then there's a song by Garbage called Cup of Coffee, which has the best use of a theremin I have ever heard. It's perfect.
Is that a thing?
Yeah,
it's so quirky.
It's perfect. Trust me, if you heard the song,
I'll listen to it after the podcast.
But Cup of Coffee is like eviscerating because it's kind of about that moment where you realize another person doesn't love you anymore.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's eviscerating.
Bad, yeah,
it's eviscerating.
Yeah, all right.
My other choice for this was Nine Inch Nails, Something I Can Never Have.
Which, and you know what? We had some, when we first started dating, we were talking about it. I own Pretty Hate Machine.
Yeah.
Head Like a Hole was a great fucking song. Like, I got into it, but then he was like, the downward spiral. But I know this song. I don't not like this song. It was always, I kind of maybe skipped it a lot because it's super depressing, but I was like,
Something
18.
I Can Never Have. It's very about despair and heartbreak and it's very raw. And
you really like to cry. Like, you're like, you cry about, like, from your soul.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't cry at your bullshit. I cry. I cry at existential despair. You have to cut through to my core.
That's fair.
Did in the Batman trilogy. Or, you know what? Here's another one.
All right, tell me.
I cried at the end of Detective Pikachu.
I haven't seen it. Is there a Sudowoodo in it?
No.
I don't want to see that garbage. Although I will say from the trailers, whatchamacallit as the bad guy is terrifying. That's a scary thing right there.
All right. Are we ready to switch to your song?
I think we're ready for Erica's song. Okay.
Here we go. Ready?
All right.
Erica's song.
All right, so here we go. Your song is a really, really long titled song, unnecessarily so. You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go by Bob Dylan was off of an album called Blood on the Tracks, which I think is a reference to heroin, from 1975.
All right, Jerry. Love you.
Blood on the track marks, right?
Blood on the tracks. Okay, so this album, he denies it. He says it's about Chekhov plays, but it's really about the breakup of his marriage. And none other than Jacob Dylan, so it was like, yeah, this is what it sounded like my parents fought. So, you know what, Bob Dylan, you know, we understand you're trying to have a cover. So I didn't get into Bob Dylan until like my 30s. And yeah. I had a friend, John Suss, and I'm like, you're into Bob Dylan, what you listen to? He's like, Blood on the Tracks. I'm like, cool. This song only became important to me in the past several years. So, you know, I can't quite embrace Dylan. I mean, he's a lot. But this song, I heard, like, I had a bad day or whatever. This is pre-Jerry. And I was like, they're like, I was Googled because it's fun sometimes. Songs make you cry or whatever. So it's a song. And it is about...
Huh. A song.
It is about...
Interesting choice.
I don't know, the futility of love, knowing that it's not going to work, even if it does work, knowing that one of you is going to die. Like, it's, he talks, okay, I'm not being very eloquent because this song just fucking gets me right in the feels.
Really? Okay, it's fine.
It's a hopeful song. He talks about how, obviously a romantic relationship, and he's like, right on target, so direct. It's, this is the one, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. But the futility of love. Just the idea that, you know, it's not, I mean, the odds are against it, Jerry. I love you so much, but the odds are against it.
Yep.
And if nothing else, one of us is going to die first.
I'm literally packing up my shit to leave right now.
Well, that's different. We'll deal with that. It's part of the human condition, I think, to want romance, to want, you know, that kind of romantic love. This song talks about the futility of what that is, because he, as the narrator, talks about not so much like, you're going to leave me. It's not an accusatory thing. It's like, I'm going to be lonesome when you go, because I know it's not going to work, because it never fucking does, because life sucks and it's a giant garbage pool and you might as well just fucking give
you
up now.
All of that out of this song. That is okay. Very interesting.
I'm
going to
talk a little bit about the song and then we're going to talk about Jerry's feelings on the song. Yes. I will say,
let's get to Jerry's feelings. Right. That's my favorite part.
Okay,
Jerry's
Bob Dylan
feelings.
Is literally one of the most important American musicians of all time.
Okay,
I mean, that's true.
He's a great lyricist. You know what? It starts with a harmonica right against the big strike.
One of the reasons why I did not like Bob Dylan for a long time is because he wore that weird harmonica harness, which I hate that look. The only good thing I ever saw, Conan O'Brien did a remote at Taco Bell, and they used it to put a taco in there, which is amazing. But no, I hate, harmonica's not huge for me. Like, I don't, the whole thing. It's just the idea that you get involved in something romantic, and it's, and you're hopeful. Like, we were talking about in a recent podcast, Liz Phair song. You're so hopeful. For what the future's going to be. But, I mean, most of us out there know that the end is, it's going to end no matter what. And it's so sad. And his lyrics are perfect. He evokes this idea, not so much a narrative of a relationship, but the feeling of like a spring, or here it is, crimson hair across your face. You're in the summertime and you're with your lover and you're in a field.
I hear all
and
that.
And it's just, and you know it's going to be done. And you know it's going to end because it always does.
Oh, I can hear it in your voice. You're getting worked up. I can hear it.
It's so fucking, it's so intelligently aware of the human condition. And you know you should go. What are you fucking doing? Go. And nobody ever does. And it's so sad.
It's going to be hard to poop all over this song.
Go ahead. No. I'm ready for you to diss Bob Dylan in favor of, I'm sorry, Ben Folds, who's great or whatever, but go ahead.
I will say this.
Yes.
Nobody in contemporary music, I don't think anyone in contemporary music is writing lyrics like this.
You are not as much of a lyrics person as I am. I'm very, no. Paul Simon, like, I'm a big lyrics person. And you are not, correct? Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a... I mean, obviously, I like my songs with lyrics. But the thing is that, like, I will also listen to music in different languages. And
really?
Yeah,
I do a whole lot.
Absolutely.
All right, Bob Dylan. I want to hear about. We talked about this a little bit last night, and he's like, "What do you think of Bob Dylan winning a Nobel Prize?" And I'm like, "We need to talk about this."
Yeah, I mean, we
got to
talk about that. What do you think about the podcast? What do you think about Bob Dylan winning the 2016 Nobel Prize for Literature?
Refused it at first. Here's what I think. I don't get poetry. I don't understand it. It doesn't do anything for me. However, I love song lyrics, which is really just poetry. And this, and other, I mean, Hurricane, which is about fucking Reuben Carter and you know, a racist murder conviction, although I have feelings about that. But leaving that aside, he is an American poet. And we may have to redefine that for the future because our poets are songwriters. And I cannot imagine a better songwriter than Bob Dylan, except perhaps the Beatles, which we've now referenced 900 times.
I think that him winning that award takes it away from people who are writers.
No, poets. Like literature.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Poets and writers.
So tell me,
and,
Jerry, what poet would you give it to?
Well, that's just because I don't have an answer for it doesn't mean
I
think that writing song lyrics is different from writing poetry, and I think it's different from writing literature. So I kind of feel like it wasn't. I would rather they have created a separate category, a Nobel Prize for song lyrics.
It's bizarre that there's
I'm very conflicted about that. Maybe I would have felt differently if there was a little more musicianship, because I don't know. And this is what this kind of leads into, like, my overall question is, like, what is it about Dylan that makes him so popular and beloved? Because the things that I know that you like about music are musicianship and talent. And I don't really see it here in this song. And in general, I don't really see it in Dylan. But the lyrics, I will completely admit, are top-notch. He's an amazing lyricist. Everything I've heard about him is very well written. It's not particularly he's good at playing. Or the songwriting, because the song is very basic, too.
So I will say this. I mean, obviously, everybody's aware of Bob Dylan their whole life, at least if you're born post-1965 or whatever. I remember him being in We Are the World, which, as you know, is like one of my favorite songs. Right. And I'm like, he can't sing. What a dipshit. Bob Dylan. Bleh. I was not, like I said, I was in my 30s before I really understood what Bob Dylan was about. Because it is not... There's no flash. I mean, there's no excitement. Like, there's no drum machines, like, whatever. And like, if he goes acoustic, like, or goes electric, still not sure what that means. Like, because I was not there for those things. And we always culturally have, like, a boomer hangover with our stuff. I think one of the things about Bob Dylan that... And I don't know what this means about what I was like when I was 12 or whatever. I don't really care. But in the Ben's Fold song is the same way. These are very mature ideas. These are ideas about futility of purpose, and these are ideas about, you know, this isn't like, we broke up and I love you and blah, blah. No, it's about knowing how complicated relationships are and knowing that there's a 94% chance that it's not going to work. These are very mature ideas. I mean, the Ben's Fold song's about, like, I'm retiring and my life is meaningless. I don't know that you can get into somebody like Bob Dylan until you're old enough to understand what the hell he's talking about. He's an old soul. Like, and I don't like, I mean, you know, I mean, I understand, but he's an old soul. He apparently has thought about ideas like this since he was 17 years old. It's not something I did. I mean, I was, like I said, 30 before I fucking got it.
Because here's the big thing. Like, again, I'm really going to fight you on this. This is not part of the theme. This doesn't fit the theme. What is this guy crying about? He's saying you're going to be lonesome when you go. This person is, she hasn't gone yet. And I don't get being sad about a heartbreak that looms when you have the opportunity to be happy right now. You are in this relationship. You are in the prime. Live in the now. But what are you doing? You're whining about, oh, but when you go, I'm going to be real sad. Fuck you. Live in the now. Be happy with what you have.
You're aware of the futility of being alive. I mean,
obviously,
I think that's
the existentialism of Fred Jones.
Correct. So I think it is the same idea. It is about I mean, how many girlfriends have you had? You had at least one marriage behind you, as have I.
Like, at least 19 or
100. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, you know, and I have to say, and because I anticipated kind of this question, maybe not put in the way you put it, but we've talked before about how one of us was usually the dumper and one of us was usually the dumpy. And I won't say who it was.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the listeners will figure that one out real quick.
The idea of having all this joy and all of this excitement and this fucking connection with somebody in your life, but knowing that it is going to end because you either have to choose for yourself, which is a thing, or you are not good for that person. You know, with, you know, it's like, you know, I want to move away. Is Jerry going to want to move away? You know, or just, right, I don't want to ever have any kids. I love this person, but I have to not be with them because we don't want the same kinds of things, is one of the saddest things you can do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree, but honestly, the whole song to me is borrowing trouble.
Yeah. And see,
this person is going to leave and you are going to be lonesome. That is, maybe that's a foregone conclusion. Maybe it's self-sabotage. But either way, it's not happened yet. That is tomorrow's problem. That is not today's problem. So singing a song about that.
See, and you know that I live strictly in the past or the future. Like, the present for me is just
doesn't exist.
Right,
yes,
now, right? I'm
well
either
aware.
Past or future.
I'm well aware. So let's yeah. make it a little lighter. Let's bring it back. What I was going to say is that two things. One, some of the music that I like that you don't care for does interesting vocal things. And he does a lot of this. So where he should say below and go down,
blue.
He goes blue, almost like a cartoon character.
Like SpongeBob.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. But you know, so he goes up and does this kind of weird vocal thing with it. How do you reconcile that? Because that's typically something you don't like.
Here's the thing. You, for me, and I've said this before, maybe I don't understand enough about the, like, pseudo-punk bullshit music you listen to, but you just go with it because you're okay. Already there. You're just...
All right.
Crickets talking back and forth in rhyme.
All right.
Like, as a symbol of a strong relationship, I'll fucking follow you wherever you want. Bob,
okay,
on.
So what you're saying to me is that the vocal weirdness is excused because of the brilliantness of the lyrics.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, but then he rhymes.
Go ahead.
But then he rhymes Honolulu with Ashtabula.
Oh,
how do you reconcile that?
No, because he says Honolulu.
Yeah, Honolulu. Because who says that?
I look for you in old Honolulu. Oh, and Ashtabula. Also, I've been to Ashtabula, just so you're aware.
weird flex, but okay.
It's, right. I can't. I don't know how else to say it. There's something about the lyricism. This song is simple, and I read on the Wikipedia, like, they tried to originally record this with like a fucking electric band and like whatever, and he for all of Blood on the Tracks, he stripped it down, harmonica, you know, acoustic guitar, like, it was very much, and that's okay. And I just have to say this: one of the reasons why I love this song, it makes me cry, is, you know, once she goes, I'll see you, you know, the tall grass and the ones I love.
Because I'll see you everywhere because I'll always be thinking about you.
Yeah, because you're always... Isn't that fucking sad? Oh, bullshit. He's making a jerk-off maneuver, but I know he's full of garbage.
So anyway,
so
I will say
like
one
Bob
of the things...
Dylan. Is that what
one of the things
with?
That one of the things I do really like about this song, because I want to find things that we can connect on.
I appreciate it.
Is that the verse is all... is. Boring. It's E-A-B, 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 E-A-B. But then when he goes into the chorus... It's B-E-B-E-F-sharp. And it sounds really cool.
Yeah, because he's amazing. I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I understand
not really,
those are
but,
keys
but
or
it's
like
cool
notes
that
or whatever.
He, it went to an interesting place. It sounds cool
Bob
and it sounds different.
Dylan, man.
But again,
he can do that with an acoustic guitar and, yep, and a harmonica and a weird thing.
Yep. He's...
I
just want to take that harmonica and just chuck it out the window.
I'm not a huge fan of harmonica.
I cannot stand that sound of that. I can't stand the sound of it. It's just so... high-pitched and whiny to me, and I just can't.
Maybe I'll play Hurricane for you later. Like I said, regardless of the guilt...
Rock You Like a Hurricane? I love that song.
No, it's a Bob Dylan song. It's so fucking good.
Here I am. Rock you like Bob Dylan.
Right. All right, joint song.
I think we're ready for the joint song.
Almost broken up enough today.
Yeah, I think I'm just about done with you. So.
All right, okay, joint song.
The song we both kind of maybe like a little bit.
Okay, so the joint song is Sinead O'Connor. Nothing compares. The number two and the letter U.
Capital.
Yes, U. It was a capital U. It was kind of implied because it's part of the song. Because
everybody
title,
knows how this works.
Yes.
Which
is the worst title for a song ever.
That's the Prince thing. I will say that this song feels very cliche. Like, let's just say this song feels cliche. But it's hard to come up with joint songs sometimes. And I think this is one, you know, we actually agreed with. And we're like, okay, good. Like, it was almost like, yeah, let's just do that one because it's whatever. So I tried to listen to it because it's stale. Oh, my God. Like, this song came out when I was, like, 14.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, every week was a heartbreak or whatever. And the video was big. But I tried to listen to it with new ears. And it's a good song.
Yeah. The vocals are amazing. Oh, the vocals God, she's are such so a good incredible.
Singer. Such a good singer.
But there is something to be said for cliches because cliches are kind of universal. They apply to everybody.
100%. And I think most of our joint songs end up being very popular songs because obviously the human experience dictates that these things. Obviously, everybody knows about this song. Yeah. Prince wrote it, obviously.
I don't think a lot of people knew that. But
really? All right, maybe. Fair. And a lot of people I know knew that. But yeah, Prince wrote the song, which is why there's a 2 and a U in the title.
That's a very Prince thing to do.
And then she had the video where it's basically just her head. And it was a big deal because she shaved her head. Like, this is a long time ago. What? I looked up the date. 1990. Long time ago. Yeah. When a chick with a shaved head was shocking.
Yeah.
Somehow. I don't even know.
It was because my dad was very upset about that. And
was he really?
He's not a great person, but he was very upset about that.
Oh, really?
Shaved her head. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
It's
whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I was, I never cared. I'm like, who cares? The song's good, but whatever.
One of the things I liked about this song and possibly adds to it feeling like such a song that talks about the emptiness is that she says that, I mean, it's not really about, like, you broke up with me, you did these things, whatever.
Yeah.
He took his love away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the imagery of it is not that, there was a breakup. He took something away that was
she
important.
She took something away because Prince wrote it.
Well,
I mean, the original lyrics are.
That's, okay, fair. Or if you're a lesbian or whatever, but fair. But he took something away. Like, it's an interesting viewpoint because it's she, for purposes of this recording, she is sitting there trying to, go to dinner, trying to do all of these different things.
Yes.
And he took that away from her.
Yep.
And she is incomplete, which is a very interesting idea in terms of breakup songs.
It's an unrequited love. Unrequited. This love for her still exists. It perseveres, one might say.
That's good. That's a 50 Cent word on the weekends.
Oh.
I will say that, I mean, there's parts of it. Obviously, one of the things that struck me about this song is the idea, there's a lyrics in there, I don't remember what it was, but the futility of finding somebody else. When you are in this place, like, there's nothing else. Like, I can go out and fuck 90 guys or whatever.
Today?
Well, I mean, it's early still. It's not going to fill that void. Like, again, this is a song, it's a song about a void.
Yeah. Well, there's a line in there, too, like, idea. I could have 100 girls on my arms or whatever.
Yeah, that's why I noted that, because I was like, that's a great lyric about that specific thing. This song is cliche, and it's so fucking dramatic, but we've all been there. That first
Did you say dramatic or traumatic?
I said dramatic, D-R.
Dra, okay.
Dramatic.
It's also traumatic.
But no matter how fucking cool you are, or no matter whatever, everybody's got that 2 or 3 days right after it happens where this is the fucking song that's it. The end. Even though you may go
if you get dumped,
marry the president, and then you're awesome or whatever.
If you're the one leaving, you're not listening to this song. But if you're the one who gets...
I don't know if that's true. Is the, one of us is a dumper.
Depends on
or
how long
dumpy.
The relationship is. Right. But honestly,
sometimes
I think if you're
the
one leaving...
Sometimes it's the dumper. This is the thing.
I don't know if that's true. Because if nothing compares to you, why are you dumping someone?
Because they're an abusive piece of garbage.
I mean, that's a legit point of view. But if you're dumping them because they're an abusive piece of garbage, why are you singing about nothing compares to you? Because literally what you're saying then, if you've dumped them, is that being alone is better and that compares that being alone's better. So
if
goodbye.
Only being abused was that simple.
I mean, you're
too
right.
Far? I mean, too
you're
real.
Right. I mean,
it's so real right now.
So I did want to say that. All right. So I totally messed up my notes here because I said the end of the chorus has a really great transition to the chorus musically.
I mean, you're
I don't
not
know
wrong.
What the, I don't know what the hell I wrote there, but there's a B flat chord in there that sounds really awesome. And I think what I meant to write is that the end of the chorus transitions back into the verse really nicely with that B flat.
It's
chord
super well written. The arrangement of this with the strings and the it's percussion, really the percussion in this song, like we talked a little bit with the producer, like it's such a slow, not like boring or like slow, like romantic song, but just that despair. Something about the tempo of the song illustrates that despair.
Yeah.
Because again, those 2 or 3 days or whatever it is, yeah.
If this
forever.
Was like, if this was like 210 beats per minute, nothing compares to
well,
you.
Well, I will tell you what, and recommend it to all of our listeners. I found Aretha Franklin does a cover of this song.
What you want?
It's a fucking, it's crazy. It's like jazzy and you're listening to it and you're like, does she really care about this dude? Like, I highly recommend all of our listeners look this up on YouTube. The Aretha Franklin cover of this song, it's like, nothing compares to you. And you're like, what? I mean, maybe am I supposed to feel good about this? I don't understand. It was fucking amazing.
Are you ready
but
for this?
I'm going. Yeah. Okay. I'm ready. Go.
I'm going to put you on blast.
Okay. Oh,
because right. One of the other songs that I suggested for songs that make us cry that we could potentially get together on, R.E.M.'s Everybody Hurts.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go
Everybody
ahead. Go
Hurts.
Ahead. I know it's coming.
And you're
so
like,
hold on. I know this song well.
It doesn't connect with me.
It doesn't.
What?
It doesn't connect
what?
With me. It doesn't. Like, Michael Stipe?
What?
You know what? He's
I don't get
like,
it. Please,
he gets a
please
fucking
explain.
Hangnail and he's like, Everybody Hurts. Like, I understand.
Hey. Hangnails are real bad.
They're, I mean, are they though? No, I Michael, that song, and I actually like REM quite a bit, and respect obviously their musicianship, their songwriting, sex time, blah, blah, blah. That song, I recognize it as an important song or something like that. It doesn't, Night Swimming connects with me far more, although it's not a very sad song, but that it connects with me far more than Everybody Hurts. It's like, oh, Everybody Hurts, hold on, you're gonna make it. It's like, fucking get over it, bro. Let's fucking party. Like, I was not that kind of person. I'm like, why are you depressed?
Man, that's like,
let's listen to
that
fucking
is almost,
Poison.
That is almost
don't
verbatim.
Don't need nothing but a good time, baby.
That is almost verbatim what I want to say to Bob Dylan.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
hey, you know what? Yeah, she's going to leave, but you know what? She's here right now, so let's party.
You think it's going to last?
Let's party, girlfriend.
Yeah.
You're here right now, aren't you?
Past and let's future party, versus girlfriend. President. Air president versus present
versus the president
versus Joe Biden.
The past versus Joe Biden.
He'd get his ass kicked. I mean, well, regardless of your politics.
Regardless
Roosevelt,
of politics, but there is
me?
So much past behind
Why?
Us.
So much past.
I don't know how you would balance
There's so
that.
Much past
that,
behind us.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
All right.
The other thing I wanted to say, I'll talk about my second places, but the other thing I want to say, so Sinead O'Connor, this is her first big song, obviously, and it was like a huge hit. She had a follow-up song single called Emperor's New Clothes. Fucking great song. Please look it up. I mean, she went crazy and now she lives somewhere near here. Like, she's got a lot of problems. Emperor's New Clothes is a great, great goddamn song. Please look it up. It's really, really good.
All right.
And as far as I know, not written by Prince. Yeah. So, backup song. Second places, you talked about some of yours. Everybody Hurts, which apparently, oh, we all hurt.
Yep.
It's fine. I love you. Mine was Night Moves. So talk about like with the Ben Folds song, Night Moves by Bob Seger. And he talks about how.
Never heard of that. I don't
how
know
you
what it is.
Get old and just you're like, God damn, things were so great when we were young, which is kind of common.
Is Bob Seger still alive?
As far as I know, okay. Bob Seger's awesome. Wish You Were Here, which for most
wish
people.
Wish You Were Here.
No. That's Kelly Clarkson. That's not the song. It's nope. A great
Missed
song.
It? Right.
It's super intense. Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here. And it's actually about Syd Barrett went crazy. Do you know about Pink Floyd? Syd Barrett was with the band and he went nuts, like legitimately crazy. And then, okay, anyway. It's nope. About him, but it reads like a song about a breakup. And
okay.
It's fucking amazing. And just the crying potential for this song, depending on my mood, is almost 100%. And then Wish or When I Was Your Man by Bruno Mars. Who is a party guy and he's awesome. I love Bruno Mars. But When I Was Your Man talks about how I wish I would have been different. I wish I would have been better. I wish I would have loved you. And it's fucking soul crushing. We saw him.
I wish I would have not been shitty.
Basically, I mean, four-ish years ago.
That's kind of the part that I can't get behind that song, because I have heard that song and he's basically saying, man, I wish I wasn't shitty. And it's just kind of like, that doesn't make me cry. That just makes me go, you're an idiot.
Because you're perfect and you don't do anything wrong.
No, not because of that. But I'm not going to cry about the, I'm not going to cry about the fact that I was shitty, because that's on me. It's my job to do better.
And I will say the song makes me cry because it reminds me of my ex-husband, not because I did.
Shane O'Connor reminds you of your ex-husband?
No, Bruno Mars. No, none of the song itself reminds me.
Your ex-husband is Bruno Mars? Way to bury the lead.
That's why we're recording in this crappy little studio.
Because he took all the money. He had a prenup, didn't he?
He's a piece of shit. Anyway. All right, we're good. Are we done crying?
We're done.
We both reached tears during our songs.
Yeah, I'm done crying because I haven't cried since we did my song.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We will always put these songs on our Spotify again for the weirdest Spotify playlist you ever heard. But I think it would be interesting to interview our listeners to see if they can figure out what's what. Go ahead.
Nothing compares to our Spotify playlists.
Cool. I mean, you're not wrong.
Cool.
Because it's weird. Please rate and review us on iTunes and the different podcast platforms. That helps us out. Helps us do well. Super shout out. Thank you to our producer, who has been awesome in keeping us sounding professional and being super great without worrying about...
like a producing master.
Goddamn. A producing master. No, okay. I think that's what we got. Usually Facebook, we put our drink messages or drink recipes on there, but we did shots of whiskey, so that doesn't... I do. It's fine.
Okay.
All right. Good.
I'm glad you're in charge of that. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a great rest of the week. And
we will talk to you soon.
Keep listening to music.
All right. Love you, dear.
Love you.
Okay. Bye.